this song, and we'll ask Joey to lead us in a word of prayer. Number 68, Lord, we come before thee now.
Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on thee our soul depends, in compassion now descend. Fill our hearts with thy rich grace, tune our lips to sing thy praise, tune our lips to sing thy praise. Grant that all may seek and find thee, O God,
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you, recognizing you as the Supreme One, the Eternal One. We are so grateful, Father, that you have so loved us, that you have provided salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that you could give mankind. And we are so thankful and so grateful for what you've done, Father. We are grateful that Mickey has returned to us safely. Pray that you would always bless him in his efforts to spread the gospel in other areas. We also, Father, are mindful for all those that have just been mentioned that are struggling with extreme illnesses, serious problems. We pray, Father, that you would comfort them and help them in their affliction, that they could be healed and be back with us. We also pray, Father, that we would personally may have the commitment and resolve of mind to look in on these people that are ill in our congregation and offer any assistance that we can. Help us, Father, to always make as our first priority in this life to seek out your will and to do it. Help us to always grow strong. Help us on that straight and narrow path, Father, that leads to your Son, through Jesus Christ. And in his name, we offer up this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing number 589, As the Deer, 589.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Desire and
sing numbers 576. 576. Faith is the victory. 576.
In camp along the hills, the mighty Christian soldiers rise and press the battle there. The night shall bear the glowing skies. Against the foe in fields we go. Let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us, his love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like the whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. So glad.
been quite a while since I've led a song up here. It's health problems. But it's a perfect time to say thank you to everybody who helped me through my times of difficulty and were at it. So we really appreciate it. Let's go ahead and sing number 231, Soldiers of Christ Arise.
Soldiers of Christ arise.
Lord, 237. Number 237.
Yeah. Scripture reading this evening will be from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There Paul writes, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them."
You know, Paul was a person that I really looked up to when I read about him, especially during the time when I wasn't obedient to Christ. But it was very extraordinary to see, and not only extraordinary, but wonderful. And at that time, I couldn't believe that the Bible had written about a man like that. But a man like that is a man who has shown himself an example of being Christ-like. But not only showing himself an example to be Christ-like, but showing him and everyone an example on how not only that he lived in Christ, but also how we need to consider on how we need to live in Christ. And, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The objective of God's plan has always been set up that man will be saved. Of course, we see in the book of Romans, we see that in chapter 3, verse 23, which it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Just hold on 1 second. I'm trying to quote something, but I need to read it from here. "For all have sinned and fallen short until the glory of God." And also in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, in which we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ." God can only save. But not only that, but however we respond through faith and to become his workmanship. It's an important phrase there, because we see in our world today that's not the case. Thank you, Chris, for that reading. But I'm going to pick up on verse 4. Because I don't have much time, and I tried to dwindle this down, but there's so much stuff that I had. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have we been saved, and risen up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace ye have been saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And not as a result of works, or that no one may boast. For we are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, in which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Long way. Here we go. This is one of the commentaries that I happened to pick up when I obeyed the gospel, and I had been going to school, you know, for other reasons. Actually, not other reasons, but for a group of brethren who weren't sound in the doctrine. But then I picked this up, the Truth Commentaries. But here, this is the Truth Commentaries with C.G. Carswell. And a lot of information that I picked up was from pages 74 through 87. But I'd like to just hit a few points here. And in this, these are a couple of things that I want to talk about. God's love behind his grace, and that's in verse 4. Verse 5, God's gifts growing out of his grace, and that we should have been risen up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in verse 6. And God projects God's projections for his grace, verse 7. And then no man shall glory grace by grace, salvation by grace, and that no man shall glory salvation is not of works. And also in verse 10, no man shall glory salvation is unto good works. We'll take this one on first, verse 4. In verse 4 it says, but God, being rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. God's love is behind his grace. As we said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's an extremely important phrase, because a lot of times we see that not understanding the love of God is a serious thing. I recall a lot of people saying that they love God, but in the meanwhile they don't really take this to heart. Also in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 7 says, seek ye Jehovah while he be found, and call ye unto him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous of man his thoughts. And let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him. And God, our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, said Jehovah. As of heaven, he is higher than the earth, as his ways are higher than our ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's love is behind his grace. God's love is behind his unmerited favor. But as we go a little further than that, God's mercy is rich. But even though his mercy is rich, we also see that he is actually where his love is for us. And in that, we become the sons of God. God's grace grows out of his God's gifts grow out of his grace. Even when we were dead in sins, and this is verse five, even when we were dead in sins, our transgressions were made alive together with Christ. By grace, we are saved. Here we see in Romans chapter 6, where Paul mentions this very important thing to the Romans, and he says, "Even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye shall obey it and the lust thereof. Neither present your members as unto sin, as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are raised with him through faith in the workings of God, who raised him from the dead." And also Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also raised with him through faith and the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead through the transgressions and the uncircumcision of the flesh, then you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us for our transgressions. As we look in Acts chapter 2, where those Jews hear Peter preach for the first time, and yes, they were truly in their sin, but yet the real problem is what they had done to the Son of God, and they had crucified him, they had killed him. So then the question that they ask is, what shall we do then? And then we see Peter give them the reply. He says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Then you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And then he says a little further, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. That was a promise. But then, even though that phrase is there, we also look and see how the Christians reacted upon that time, upon the message that Peter gave. And what did they do? With many other words, we see that Peter told them to turn themselves from this crooked generation. And as they did, we see them actually not only growing, but we see them hearing the word of God and becoming obedient to it. And then that's what we see in verse 47, where it says that there were 10,000 souls added to the church. But even that, it even shows how they were growing. How were they growing? They were growing in the obedience of God. And that promise to me and to many others is a gift. It's a gift that we receive, but it's that gift, the forgiveness of sins. Then we see in God's love is behind his grace. But God, being rich in grace, for his great love, wherein that he loves us. Am I going backwards on that? Okay. I'm hitting it wrong. Next one. There we go. We have been raised up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, it's really amazing how the church came about. The church didn't come about, as we read in the Old Testament. The church came about after Jesus ascended and sat on the right hand of God. But if you speak to many other people, then that's totally different. But here in Colossians, it says, chapter 2, verse verse 12 and 13. I believe I've read this already. Having been buried with him through baptism, wherein we were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. Now he raised him from the dead. Yes, in the working of God. Raised who? And you, being dead through your transgresses, your transgressions, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, I say, did he make alive together with them, having forgiveness us all of our transgressions? And then we see in John chapter 18, 23, 34 through 36, Jesus answered and said, and I like how this is done, how John is saying this. Sayest thou this of thyself? Who did others tell it thee concerning me? Then Pilate answers and says, I am a Jew, and thine own nation and the chief priests delivered thee unto me. And what hast thou done? And then Jesus answers this question. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight and would not have delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not hence. When did that kingdom come about? That kingdom came about when Jesus died upon the cross, and when he ascended and he sat on the right hand of God. Well, let's say he walked upon the earth for 40 days. And after he walked, that's important that Christ walked upon the earth those 40 days, because it lets people know that Jesus was here after his death, but he walked upon this earth in flesh. But then when he ascended and sat on the right hand of God, 10 days after that, then the kingdom was ushered into the world. And it goes back when we look in Matthew where Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And then we see Peter says, thou art Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Bar-Jonah, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, Peter really didn't fathom this whole thing. He didn't realize what Jesus was actually saying. But then we see the results that are written down. And it's wonderful that we can be in the church today, and that we can be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But right there in the book of Matthew, we also see it says, whatsoever shall be bound on heaven shall be bound on earth, and whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. So we see that comparison there in the book of Matthew. But yes, the church, yeah, as long as we're in the church, we are in all heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're backwards again. God's projections for his grace. In verse 7 it says, so that in the ages to come, that he might show his surpassing riches and grace in kindness towards us in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 it says, blessed be the God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In who? In Christ Jesus. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blemish before him in love. And when Paul writes this, it gives me hope. And I hope it gives everyone else hope, because here, to be holy is to be separate, to be set aside. But to be blameless before him, wow, that has always been an issue. But it's a promise. God has promised this, that we ourselves would have heaven to look for, and the foundation, and the foundation, and it's from the very beginning of the world. We see when Adam and Eve, you know, when that happened, and then we see in the book of Malachi when Malachi chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, where God was upset with the priests. He was upset with the people. Why? Because they had given lesser sacrifices instead of giving God the best. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, and I'll be moving along. But now, faith that came, we are no longer under a tutor. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There be neither Jew nor Gentile nor Greek, and there is neither bond nor free. And there can be no male or female, for you are all one, and there is parentheses, man, in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. No man shall glory. Salvation is by grace. For by grace have we been saved through faith, that in of ourselves it is a gift of God. As we'll see in Romans chapter 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, for it is the power of God of salvation unto everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And then we have a sobering promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But let us since that we be of the day of that day, to be sober, putting the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet and the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not into wrath, but unto obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that we shall live together with him. Wherefore, to exhort one another and build each other up, even as also ye do. But we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you, and the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them exceedingly highly in the love for the work's sake, but peace among ourselves. Salvation is a work. It's a work for us. That's why when we come together on this Lord's Day, that we encourage each other, we exhort each other, we build each other up. But not only on this day, but also tomorrow, all the way through the week. No man shall glory. Salvation is not works. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. In James it says, What did it profit, my brother, if a man say that I have faith, but have not works? Can that faith save him? And the answer is definitely not. Then we see in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Though thou seest the faith that wrath with his works, and by works is salvation made perfect. And the scripture is fulfilled which saith, and Abraham believeth God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, and that he was called a friend of God. Ye are that Ye are that by works, that man is justified, and not by faith only. And like the matter was not by Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, and in that she received the messengers, and set them out another way. For as the body is a part of the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. So without faith and without works, it means nothing. And we have to work not only work amongst each other, but what about when we're not with the brethren? What about then? How are we bringing people to Christ? How are we getting the message out? Of course, we see, and this is quoted all the time in Matthew 22, verse 23. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in thy name? Did I not cast out demons? And by name do mighty works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. To me, that's really strong, because you see that these works are not only professed on TV and where we work at, and it's even professed sometimes in homes. And we see that people say that I am of God, and then we see them not bringing people to the gospel, or even giving the gospel message, or even ignoring the gospel message. No man should glory. Salvation is unto good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. In Romans, it says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that the body of sin might be done away with. King James says destroyed. That so we shall no longer be bound into sin. Christ came and died one time that we may enter into Christ. John 15 says, verse 5, for I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye do nothing. If a man abide not in me, then he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and then they burn it. If ye abide in me, and in my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done to you. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so that ye be my disciples. And then in Luke, as the writer of Luke says in 17 verse 10, even so ye also, when ye shall have done all these things that are commanded you, say that we are unprofitable servants, that we have done that which was our duty to do. The preacher says in the book of Ecclesiastes, for the conclusion of the whole matter is that the conclusion is that we, I'm forgetting that one, I don't know why. For the whole duty of man, let me go there. Don't want to misquote anything. There we go. This is the end of the matter that has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. With every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that's in the Old Testament. The conclusion is God's love behind his grace, and his grace is sufficient. God's gifts grow out of his grace, and that we have been risen up together in heavenly places in Christ. And if we hadn't, then we wouldn't have the church. And if we hadn't, we wouldn't have Christ Jesus. God's projection for his grace. God wants all of us to be saved. But there is a plan that he has set up. And that plan is, as I was mentioning in Acts chapter 2, that plan is that we hear, believe, and that we repent, and that we obey. And in our obedience, we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And even that, when we're baptized for the forgiveness of sins and we receive that gift, we also need to continue. Yes, salvation is by grace. Salvation is not just by I'm doing social works or things of that sort. No, it is an action that we must do. And then also salvation is unto good works. It's unto good works. So that's my conclusion to the objective of God's plan. And it's something that's really dear to my heart because I know that there are many that are in my family that aren't obedient to God. And because of that, then we need to continue to preach this message of the gospel. If you have been obedient to God's word, but yet you are having things that are coming out that are causing you to leave God, now is the time and now is the opportunity to come forth and then have the brethren pray for you. If you haven't been obedient to Christ, well, it's very simple. But not only is it very simple, but many times I see that many obey the gospel, but they fall away from it. But even though they fall away from it, we're here to help them come back. But not only help them come back, but also restore them. So if you're inclined to hear that message and you want to be obedient to God's word and or have the brethren pray, can you please come up as we begin to sing this song? Apologies. Standing for the right, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Working for the Master, giving him the praise. Earnest in his vineyard, honoring his laws. Faithful to his counsel, watchful for his cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in his work of love? Leading others to him, lifting prayers above. Courage, faithful servant, in his word we see. On our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I.